On the show today, we have Cornerstone Advisors' very own Sam Kilmer and Steve Williams talking about a survey they recently conducted entitled Financial Institution and FinTech Relationships from Both Sides of the Table. This is a doozy, so check it out. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have the gentleman from Cornerstone Advisors, Mr. Steve Williams in the upper left corner, and Mr. Sam Kilmer down there at the bottom. We're doing our Brady Bunch format today, where we're looking up and down and all around to see who's talking. So, how's it going, guys?
Terrific. Good to talk to you, Mike.
Right on. Well, glad to have you guys back on the show. Steve, I just saw you last week in Florida, so good to see you again. Seems like yesterday. So.
Yeah. Little contact from the road. It was good to see you. We were both running 60 miles an hour, but great to be with a lot of great credit union leaders.
Yep, at the CUES conference there. That was really good fun. So, all right, guys. On the docket today is a survey you guys conducted, financial institution and fintech relationships from both sides of the table. And this really piqued my curiosity. So, Sam, since this was kind of your baby, can you give us a quick overview on what the survey was all about? And then we can dive into the weeds a little bit.
You bet, Mike. So good to talk with you again. And it's been, I think you've seen, you mentioned you and Steve being out and about. FinTech, big topic these days, huh?
A little bit.
So we thought instead of just kind of staying at the kind of the shallow buzzword level, which a lot of the conversations can be out there, we decided to kind of dig in a little bit and see what people were talking about around FinTech. And specifically, I mean, there's the sandbox has shifted around a lot. There used to be a pretty steady, predictable crew of vendors over here, challenger fintechs over there, investors over here, credit unions over here, et cetera. And now it's kind of an interesting mixed up sandbox. And so there's a tendency to say, well, we're all together and we're all partnering and, sort of kumbaya around that. But actually what we find is that in our experiences out on the road working with credit unions and fintechs alike is they're different. What credit unions need, their challenges, they're very different than what fintechs need and what their challenges are. So we decided to kind of peel the onion back a little bit and figure out, you know, what are the main challenges and what are some of the things that both credit unions and fintechs can do to improve their relationships because they are different. They're on different sides of the table.
Yeah. And Steve, I want to get your take. I mean, just anything to add on that?
Yeah, I think one of the most important things that's going on in the banking and credit union industry right now is we've all got these big transformation agendas, and we're also asking the vendors to kind of help us along there. The thing is, we've got to be really efficient and effective with how we spend our time on transformation and how these folks do. So really importantly, figuring out where is there a fit and where can we work together effectively is almost like something we have to process engineer. Because if we waste all our time kind of talking about fintech and having these poor folks, demo for us and talk to us and kick the tires, and we don't provide any investment or partnership into that, it's going to be this kind of very interesting stalemate where there's a lot of talk and no real progress. So getting to the heart of what can this fintech do for us and what's our mutual commitment to it is very important. If I was running a fintech right now, and I think Sam would agree with this, one of my biggest priorities would be figuring out how not to do 500 demos for credit unions and banks that aren't serious and then spend a $100,000 budget traveling around the country and have no revenue to show for it. Importantly, that means fintechs can't live up in the clouds with buzzwords. They've got to get into what's the use case and what's the real business payoff that we can bring together as partners.
So is this survey kind of a result of the changing of the mind, if you will, for credit unions? Because when fintechs, I want to say when they first came onto the scene, but there was kind of an explosion a few years back where credit unions and probably banks too were kind of fearful that, oh my gosh, these fintechs are going to take over. Now there seems to be a changing of the mind to where, hey, you know what? We can partner with them now. So is this kind of a result of that? And then helping fintechs, I guess, work more efficiently to gain an audience here? Am I going down the right path here?
Sam?
Yeah. I mean, specifically what happened to your point, Mike, several years ago when we used the term fintech, we were talking mainly about what we would call challengers or disruptors or people that are intended to compete with the credit union or compete with the bank. And those still are out there. Some of them have really struggled. You know, sometimes it's fairly easy to make a loan. It's not always easy to get paid for the loan, I think, as some of the fintechs figured out.
Yeah.
But largely one of the things that some of the challenger fintechs started figuring out is this business is hard. The regulatory environment, lots of other things about it are hard. So it's the old, if you can't beat them, join them cliche, where the challenger fintech started morphing into becoming providers for the financial institutions. So just one example of many. OnDeck, which started off, we've written a lot about it in Gonzo Banker, OnDeck, which started off fairly successfully making the case around a fast business loan, and we're going to take on the banks, all of a sudden becomes essentially a loan origination system, LOS vendor for one of the big banks. So that's just one example. There have been others where people in the fintech world said, hey, we don't want to beat up credit unions and banks now. We want to help them. Yeah. At the same time that the more established, let's call them fintech providers, AKA historically what have been known as vendors, industry providers, started to build up, R&D groups and hackathon type groups and different types of things that start making them look like not just a provider to the credit unions, but also someone who could kind of mix it up a little bit and really kind of push forward. So it's really, that's one of those things about the sandbox really changed.
Yeah.
And it's almost, you have to really start to kind of figure out what are you trying to be when you grow up,
yeah.
To figure out what somebody even is anymore. Mm-hmm. And but that's part of the, we think that's kind of part of the opportunity, but also part of the confusion. And so that's why we actually polled, dozens and dozens of fintech executives as well as credit union executives to figure out, hey, what's going on back there? What's really bothering you? What's really challenging you? And what can people do about it?
Yeah, I think you're going to answer a lot of questions in the survey as well, or you did answer a lot of questions in the survey, because a lot of people out there, I think there's this innate curiosity of what's going on and how do we handle this? So I'm glad you guys did a survey like this. I think it's going to be quite valuable. So what were a couple of the, let's go for a couple of key findings here. One of the, and you kind of turned them in the traditional Cornerstone Gonzo Banker way. Like the first one was Culture Club. Can you explain to us what Culture Club, what does that mean in regards to the findings?
Yeah, I'm going to let Sam hit that one because it was really important to him about, one thing we love about having Sam run this part of our company is he's been on the vendor and fintech side. So, and we ascribe, it's not financial institutions are good and vendors are evil. Far from it. It's really how they work together and what it takes. Vendors frustrate financial institutions, but there's the same thing on the other side as well.
Indeed.
So, Sam, Culture Club.
Culture Club, Sam.
Yeah, I think the main thing here is, when we look inside our organizations, what is it that motivates us? Where do we spend our time? What are we thinking about?
Right.
And I think one of the first things that I just like to split it up into things like, what can vendors, what is it vendors or fintechs want from banks and what do banks want from fintechs? And I think, whether it's credit unions or banks, we've seen it pretty consistently wanting to push for this. Is one of the big cultural, let's just call it cultural obstacles that are out there is what credit unions really, really want from their fintech providers, be they a challenger that they're partnering with or an established provider, is a really credible, if you can get it on one page that's visual, that's great, roadmap.
Yeah.
Show me where you're going. I mean, this has been one of the biggest cultural clashes between credit unions and fintech providers is missing roadmap commitments. And the big difference here is that if a roadmap item slides a little bit at a fintech provider, well, hey, they've got a lot of challenges going on, like, making payroll and getting investors. And this is just one of many challenges. But for the credit union, if they have planned on having a capability in the second quarter to essentially be more competitive against large banks, which have done actually very well in market share more recently competitively, and you're not able to have that, and internally the whole team was genned up to go to market with something around digital or lending or whatever, payments, it's a real credibility problem for the credit union. So this idea of we need to have a roadmap, we need to have it give people lumps in the throats internally at the credit union, but also we need our fintech providers to live up to those roadmaps and be credible with those commitments.
I
think that's so important. Candidly, where we are, and I think this covers both the mature vendors out there who provide core systems, digital banking, payments, and some of the fintech upstarts, is there's no currency to roadmap commitments. It's kind of like, are you going to support business account opening? Yeah, we have that in the roadmap. It'll probably be Q2 of 2020. that has no currency. It was just a statement that now filters away. And so the credit union or bank can't plan for that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, that hurts actually the vendors and the fintechs who deliver on their roadmap because the currency has been debauched. Mm-hmm. And what we find on fintechs too is very importantly is they do very well on the front end of the relationship when they're showing the demo and when they're talking about the possibilities and they're bringing out their CTO who's brilliant and everybody wants to fall in love with her that she's so brilliant. Mm-hmm. Then it gets to execution. And what Sam said is then they start to realize, oh, I've got to integrate with Jack Henry, Fiserv, FIS. I've got to figure out how to get that deluxe data into this. I've got to get a card ordered. And they candidly start to get like, wow, this is a drag. We really kind of enjoyed the fun demo stuff. Yeah. And so getting through that execution phase is very important. And again, what has to happen is that learning curve so that that vendor knows, okay, I've built these interfaces and this is what we're trying to get to. Mm-hmm. And I think the most important thing in partnership is we both have to be going towards an outcome, not just we partnered or I bought a system or I implemented a system, but from the very beginning, whether this is an account opening or lending or analytics or cybersecurity vendor, what business outcome are we both trying to get? If we can discipline vendors and fintechs to do that, we actually give them their marketing material. Because if we can get to an outcome with a pilot client, we now have a case study or exactly how they're going to sell this the next time around. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what I think Sam means by that gritty partnership.
Yeah. And I've heard more and more in the last few years about cultures fitting together and then obviously doing your due diligence. So I think this is what the
right.
big learning lesson right here. And speaking of learning, the next one was learning to drive. And I think this one had a lot to do with talent, right, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the interesting things that's happening is with the competitive threats of big banks, they've been doing quite well with the rise of digital first and whether it's on lending or on payments, credit unions are increasingly becoming builders. So they're either building some of the things that they have internally or they're going to toolkits or more solutions that they can tailor. And essentially what's happening is what we used to call best of breed versus best of suite.
Yeah.
Market being buying everything from one provider. Credit unions for years have, because of the payments environment and other things, have bought from multiple providers. But that has proliferated. So for all the consolidation that we talk about, this vendor bought that vendor, those kinds of things, that's very true. Mm-hmm. But for every one of those consolidations that happen is well publicized, there are three more upstarts that happen. And so what's happening is that, in terms of becoming builders, these credit unions are, if they're not already serving on advisory boards or boards of fintechs, which many of them are,
Yeah, right.
That basically puts them in the building mode. Mm-hmm. In terms of what they're doing and helping with internally at their shops, they're also doing much more customization, API work, other connecting and welding that essentially make them a little bit more like a builder, even if they're buying some things off the shelf and tailoring them. So yes, credit unions are becoming more, some credit unions, we've even seen credit unions that'll say, you know, I'm more of a tech firm than I am a financial services provider. Maybe, maybe not, but they are moving closer in that direction. And so these two groups of people do have more things in common, but I would say there are some real differences. I mean, the same problem that we talked about in terms of credibility on roadmaps, when we polled the credit unions about what they wanted to see from their fintech providers. The same thing holds true when we ask fintech providers, you know, what could credit unions be doing better? Number one thing that they point to by far, I mean, there was no close second, is internal resources and accountability to actually get something done with your solutions. Mm-hmm. So we have to always, we're always, Steve and I and our team, we're always pushing back to say, yeah, you bought the latest and greatest, but do you realize that you're going to need a team of five probably to make that thing sing? Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, because you've purchased a very, very hot new offering from one of the big brands, do you now realize that those five people that you've spun up are also in demand at other credit unions and other tech firms and other industries sometimes? Mm-hmm. So the competitiveness for talent, we talk a lot about tech And that's not in opposition to people-based things. It's actually the people side of this business is getting much more difficult. And that's actually something that the fintechs and the credit unions share in common, is just this war for talent.
Yeah, Steve?
But just, I think that the message to the FIs from the fintechs would be, guys, we love you, but you're not operationally mature enough to really kind of partner with us in a way where you can see our technology, see our solution, program it in with resources and talent to help implement it and really drive towards those outcomes. And so I think you're seeing some of the more successful larger credit unions start to try to build agile capabilities and integration capabilities. You've probably talked to somebody like Mike Upton at First Tech as an example, who are, you know, really trying to take control of that, but still work with providers. I think even if you're a smaller credit union, getting a little more emotion, you know, rigor into the project side is very important, because a lot of times these vendors, they think something's hot, and they realize that that VP was the only one who really supported them. And now as we get into implementation, I can't even get that VP to call me back. So where are they in the chaos internally at the credit union? I think if the credit unions build greater operational discipline and really be good about their due diligence process, not to chase something shiny, but go towards a business outcome. And, you know, concomitantly, if the fintechs say we've got a very clear roadmap and we also are going to the same business outcome, you're just going to get better results. Mm-hmm. So right now, kind of tire kicking, buying something kind of emotionally, not really supporting it on the FI side's not working. And this kind of like, yeah, let's just kind of keep playing along with it, with the charade, give roadmap promises, don't deliver. That's the dysfunction we're trying to solve through, you know, better gritty partnership. And I'm glad to say I see larger credit unions really growing in to that kind of, we need better operational discipline. Yeah. Tech is more of our business now. Mm-hmm. We can't have it off to the side, you know, that we're credit, finance, operations people. We don't need tech. It's a department. No, it's a discipline that every manager has to have now.
And I think this is kind of the norm today, right now. I mean, you know,
right.
Years ago, it was kind of an anomaly, but now this is our new normal. I mean,
credit
kind of have to be, I don't want to say they have to be, but they're going to be geared toward being a technology company. So,
A lot of the folks that we're seeing kind of lead this charge of talent development and agility in credit unions today, a lot of them are going to be CEOs 5-10 years from now.
Indeed. All right, gentlemen, let's get to the next one here. Pulse points, making bankers and credit union folks happy. What's this one all about, Sam?
You know, I think the main thing here is if you're a credit union, is you want to make sure that your fintechs have an ear to the ground, you know, and that they're getting good market inputs and that they're not just sort of winging it with you know, kind of a gunslinging approach to R&D and development. And I you know, when we talk to fintechs about this, it's interesting because, you know, of the things that we ask fintechs in the research report, you know, what do you want to see? And of course, as you might expect, you guys just came from a lot of the conferences. You saw where they want a lot of engagement. They want their clients to be on user boards. They want their clients to be coming to events. What we're hearing is, credit unions are largely doing that. They're measuring up to that. They're showing up. They're caring. The fintechs report really good approach there. To Steve's point about you know, sort of line of business leadership, I think one of the things that fintechs are asking a lot more for is, it's great that you might have someone that's driving a procurement or a contract or whatever, or even the CIO who is enabling some things. We're looking for a line of business leader. And so one of the things that we've been working a lot on with our financial institution clients, but also guiding fintechs on, is sort of the, let's just call it the division or the checks and balances of responsibilities inside the credit union to do things like, who's taking a look at a fintech provider's cost, risk. Those are the two sort of, let's call them negatives for fintechs. But also, who's looking at performance? Are we getting what we're supposed to out of this, and who's driving that forward? That's typically a line of business leader. And to Steve's earlier point, if you don't have that person involved, it's a real challenge for the fintech, because they're not getting the kind of feedback that they need to drive their R&D. And the last thing you want these guys to do is just going out and building hormonally. You want that to be a process where they're getting inputs from, whether it's folks like Cornerstone or all, obviously lots of different sources out in the market. But that's what we mean by keeping a pulse on the market. This can't just be This can't just be a willy-nilly approach to R&D.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I think good example I could make that specific is we've had great innovation fintech now around the mortgage side of things. So a lot of chief digital officers went out and started partnering with people. Blend is the probably the most popular company out there, very hot right now. Roostify, Mortgage Hippo. So these are digital mortgage providers who can help us compete with Quicken Loans. But that chief digital officer needs to bring in the head of mortgage. And that person may not be a digital person, but boy, do they know the mortgage business. And they have to introduce these new providers to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mae, Freddie Mac requirements and CRA, and the fact that everything has to interface to Encompass in that industry. So bringing that line of business perspective is important, or else you won't get even the political financial support of some of these new digital and fintech offerings if they're just kind of being out there with a digital or IT or project officer within the credit union.
Indeed. All right, guys, last one here, speed traps, AKA missed deadlines. What's this one all about, Sam?
Well, this goes back to the roadmap conversation that we were talking about earlier. And, you know, I one of the things that I encourage credit unions to do, you know, we have a, in addition to the research report that we mentioned out of Gonzo Banker, wrote an article about, you know, five things you can do to make user conferences useful. Mm-hmm. And we sort of get into things like, let's have that roadmap and the hits and misses right there on a piece of paper. Let's go into that user conference so that there's accountability around that. In the same way that credit unions, we have to hold ourselves accountable internally. Let's make sure that we're having, you know, one-on-one meetings with the fintech provider, preferably on site at the credit union with line of business leaders involved. And it's not just, you know, sort of a remote type process. But let's make sure that, because we can all sit here and it's very interesting to have a conversation around, you know, who's doing a great job or not provider-wise in the industry. But I think that when I look at our clients that are doing the best at this, they're going to those user events, or when the provider comes on site to their credit union, they all consistently are singing from the same hymnal on how we've been performing, you know, versus what your roadmap was, what were the hits and misses. And what we're looking for there, what credit unions are looking for is, are the providers talking about other credit unions? Are they talking about my credit union? Do they know my credit union? And are they being candid about their misses? So we've all talked a lot about, you know, test and learn, fail fast. You hear a lot of these kind of trendy things. The main thing is can you admit to a failure or a shortcoming and then talk about what you're going to do about it? Because we all know when you're building new things, there's going to be problems. But let's make sure that we're taking care of it. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Steve?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think what's really important there that the credit unions have to manage the delivery of promises much more actively than they have in the past. And it has to be fairly visible to the executive team as we start to say we're going to compete through member experience. And very candidly, as you start to manage fintechs on the true delivery of what they've promised, you very quickly start to get a sense, as what Sam said, who really is going to be in this for a while? And who is kind of buying time hoping for a takeout very quickly? Who's already, you know, valued the stock and has a car picked out in Silicon Valley? And who's going to go through the drudgery of working with financial institutions for the next decade? So the way we strip that out is you manage those new fintechs to their timelines. And as Sam said, it's not, you don't terrorize them. You work with them, but that transparency is what's going to build the trust over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you took my thought process right out of my brain, Steve, because that's what I've been hearing at the last few conferences is exactly what you just said. You know, what are the in the plans for the fintech? Are they in this for the long haul? Are they in it to sell their company down the line? Are they just looking for a quick out or a quick sale? That type of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, it goes back to the due diligence from a credit union.
I like to joke, some of these smart young kids, developers, they start getting into the compliance of financial institutions and they say, Colton, Jared, let's go start a dating service app. This sucks. So, you know, who's going to be in this for the long run is a question you have to tease out in your partnership process.
Indeed. So, I mean, having said that, let's look at it from the 60,000 foot level here. What were some of the lessons that you guys learned from this survey? What did you guys glean from it from a big perspective here, Sam?
Yeah, I would say one big takeaway is for all the new whiz bang widgets that are being created, including in the world of vendor management, the truth is that relationships still matter. When I started out as a fintech, exec many, many years ago after leaving a financial institution, being a financial institution exec and being on both sides of that purchase and experience process, you know, we always used to say relationships matter. I think there's a tendency for us to say, well, with all the new technology and as fast as everything's moving and it's all about APIs and it's all about, the answers to, question 134 in the feature function set, those things are important, but relationships still matter and you can dig into the research on this, but what we found, kind of highlighting one thing from the report is on-site engagement at the credit union from the fintech, that still matters as much as it ever did.
Okay.
Eyeball to eyeball is important. Engagement is important. But I think another takeaway that I pull away from this is there's some real basic blocking and tackling, but it's hard. And that is that this really comes down to accountability. On the one hand, you have the number one challenge that was being reported is, roadmap commitments. Are they credible and are they missing or hitting them? Okay, that's an accountability from the credit union to the fintech provider. The other story is also true, which is, even when we provide those things to the credit union, the biggest challenge to the fintech provider was credit union not having enough resources. That resource allocation right now is, and we call it the delivery redirect. How do we move resources from one thing to another thing? That's digital is a good example of that. That is got to be the biggest challenge right now. And just, keeping our eye focused on that. But I would say, less is more, one-page roadmaps, one-page visuals, not to dumb it down, but to keep focus on it so it doesn't get diluted and it's buried on paragraph 2 of page 52. So I don't know, Steve, what's maybe some of your other takeaways? But
I think what I sense in the air right now is, first of all, we've had a little bit of fun the last few years because of good times and kind of dancing around in the opiates of possibility with new technology. We can go to any conference and see any cool demo. But right now, what Sam's point about resources, both we're going into slower revenue growth, so resources are going to be tight financially. But the real truth of this industry, there's not enough professionals to do everything that we're thinking about right now. And some of those possibilities you see at a conference, a CIO says, I already have 150 projects in the queue. How am I going to fit this? So to Sam's point, we at the end of the day, the winners are going to say the future credit union is built one detail at a time. And the fintechs that, kind of don't spend all their time in the opiate of possibility and get down into the details with an operationally disciplined credit union willing to do the same thing, they're going to progress. Others are going to keep going to conferences and talking. Those are the folks who are going to get there. And you see that taking operational control on both sides into the details is what's going to work.
Fantastic. Oh my gosh, guys, this is a topic that we could go on for another hour at least. So good stuff here. Last question here. Where can folks find out more details on this stuff? Because I think this is super important information, because just based on what's been happening in the last few years,
sure.
This is white hot stuff right here. I think that credit unions will be all over for sure. And fintechs too, for that matter.
Great. Sam?
Yeah. Well, the report that we're alluding to here, where we did a poll of the credit union executives as well as the fintech executives, that's available on our website, crnrstone.com. It's on our research page. That's one place where you can get some information. And of course, we're writing a lot about these types of things at Gonzo Banker as well. And so, Steve, I don't know if you had any other resources in mind, but those would be
GonzoBanker.com and our good old crnrstone.com. We post all our research there and look forward to continuing the discussion, Mike.
Yeah, this is a really good one, guys. So appreciate your time as always and the good work that you guys do as well. So keep it up, guys. You're doing well. You're doing well.
All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That's awesome.